Hey, and welcome to episode 2. I'm Shane, the Retro Game Guy. And today is going to be all about the basics of collecting video games. I'm going to come at this from the perspective that the audience that I'm speaking to really is new to collecting video games or wants to get into that. And so I'm just going to go from the beginning and go from there. So I want to give you some of the basics. I want to tell you some things that you need to think about before you get started. And so that's what today's episode is going to be all about. Now, before I get into the meat of the episode, and I do have some really good stuff today, let me just say that I'm recording this podcast on an app called Anchor. So if you're hearing this on another platform, if you downloaded it from iTunes or Google Play, check out the Anchor app. It's a lot more than just an app that lets you listen to podcasts. It's an app where you can make a podcast, where you can connect with other people who are making content. So I don't know how to describe it except to say it's almost like the YouTube of audio. It's really cool. So that's my plug. Anchor is not, I'm not like being sponsored by them or anything like that. I just want to throw that out there because I think Anchor is really cool. Alright, well, let's get into the show today. I got some really good information for you, and I hope it'll be something that will help you in your journey. Okay, so I want to give you some things to think about as you're getting started in collecting video games. Number one, you have to ask yourself, what is my goal? What is my goal in doing this? Is it all about the collection and chasing the rare items or the items that you just really want? Maybe you don't mind going on eBay and spending $100 for something, you know, as long as you can get it in good condition and it's exactly what you want and it's complete and all of that stuff. You know, that's fine. If that's your goal, if that's what you want. Maybe you're into collecting a certain thing. Maybe you're like, you know, maybe PlayStation 2 was like your childhood and you want to collect all the PlayStation 2 stuff. And you want that to be the main part of your collection. You know, that's fine too. Just identify those things. What are the things that you're most excited about getting? Maybe as you begin doing this and you start to see how, you know, you're like, man, I'm getting some really good stuff for cheap and this is what it's worth. And, you know, maybe you get more into the resale side of it. Maybe you get to the point where you're like, man, the games are cool, but I really enjoy, you know, reselling this stuff and making money. It's like a second income. You know, maybe that's more of your goal. But whatever that goal is, these are just some things that you're going to want to think about as you're getting started, because, you know, whatever that goal is going to determine where you put your resources. So I know I talked about this in the first episode, but in case you missed it, my goal, and honestly it took me about a month of doing this to kind of get to the point where I had established, you know, what that goal was, but my goal is to have a collection of video games like I do have, but also sell enough stuff that it covers the cost. It covers what I've spent on collecting those items. So, you know, for example, if I go out and I find at a yard sale a PlayStation 2 with like 3 games and a controller and it's only $10, and I can turn around and sell one of those games for $10, you know, I'll turn around and sell that one game for $10 to cover what I spent, and then the rest is like basically like free stuff once I've done that. So that's my goal. Now, that being said, that doesn't have to be your goal at all. You come at it from where you're coming at it is fine. But it is important to identify that goal. Like I said, it took me about a month. I went back and forth between, you know, I want to collect everything. I'm not getting rid of anything. I'm keeping it all. And then I kind of went to the other end of the spectrum where I'm like, well, I'm just going to be a reseller. I'm just going to, you know, make this like a second income. And I settled somewhere in the middle because I do enjoy both of those things. I enjoy the collecting and the procuring of items, and also enjoy the, you know, being able to resell it and make my money back to where I have a collection that didn't cost me anything. So that's where I'm at. You got to determine where you're at, though. It's very important to identify that goal so that you have a clear focus and a clear direction that you can go. Okay, another thing that you need to do is get organized. That may not sound like it's important, but that's going to be very, very important to what you're doing if you're going to do it seriously. And that includes a few things, getting organized. First of all, get on Facebook and join your local groups, local yard sale groups, local, if there's any video game groups in your area where people talk about and maybe sell, trade video games. You're going to want to get involved in those. Any little groups you can find on your Facebook, join those groups, because sometimes you can find some really awesome deals in those groups. Sometimes you can make good connections. You can find out where yard sales are in the yard sale groups. You know, you can find out if there's some big yard sales going on. If there's an area that's going to have a lot of them one day, you'll know where to go. So it's very important to get in those groups as quick as you can. And if you're going yard selling, you know, if you got a Saturday coming up where you're going to go hit some yard sales or some thrift stores, pawn shops, whatever it is, make a plan ahead of time for that. Don't just go out and drive around, because you'll waste a lot of time and energy doing that. Get on those Facebook groups, find out where a lot of yard sales are, and if you have to, get out a map and get these addresses and put them in a GPS or something so you can know what's the most efficient way to get to these places, because you may not think a lot of people in your area are into this video game thing, but I promise you there are, and it's like a race in the morning. You got to get out there, and you got to be efficient, you got to be early. And so you're going to want to plan ahead of time so you can be the first one there and you can get the best stuff. And speaking of thrift stores and pawn shops and things like that, you're going to want to start as soon as possible kind of exploring your local thrift stores, Goodwills. You know, we have Salvation Army around here. I don't know what other people have, but you're going to want to start exploring those, because some of those have, like, they'll just sell any video game for $3, you know, it's just like a flat price, which if you find something like that, it's awesome. Some of them have people that work there that think they know something about video games, and they try to, you know, price them up real high. Just avoid those places, or at least if you're one of the people that's like me where you're trying to get stuff cheap, avoid those places. If you don't care about getting stuff cheap, then look at them all. But I avoid those places because I'm not gonna, you know, pay at a Goodwill what I could pay on eBay to get, you know, and I know what I'm getting on eBay. Anyway, so you're going to want to know which ones are good, is what I'm saying. You're going to want to know which of these thrift stores are the ones that tend to have a lot more when it comes to electronics and video games, and tend to be, you know, better with the prices and things like that. So once you know which ones are good, you'll know which ones you want to be checking on a regular basis. And when I say regular basis, you know, that could be, you might check them every day on your way home from work or something. When I used to have to drive to work, I'd pass like 3 or 4 Goodwills on my way home from work, and there were a lot of days I would just stop on the way home from work and see if there was anything there. So that may be something you kind of have a little circuit where you check these places periodically and see what they got. There's also a chance in doing this that you might make some connections at a thrift store. You might, you know, befriend somebody there, and they might kind of give you a heads up when there's cool stuff that comes in. Now, I personally have not had that happen to me yet, but I have heard of that happening for other people. So you just have to kind of be on the lookout for that kind of thing. And lastly, when it comes to getting organized, you need some type of spreadsheet or a notebook. It doesn't even have to be, if you're not a computer person, just use a notebook and a pen and paper. But everything that you buy, everything that you sell, you need to have a record of it. Write down what the item is, how much you paid for it, and then if you end up selling it, how much you sold it for. That way you know that you're making a profit or not making a profit. And that will help you in the future know what to buy. You know what kind of stuff you're making a profit off of, what kind of stuff you're not making profit off of. So this is like, this is a key. Make that spreadsheet, and it's just basic. It ain't got to be anything fancy. Make that spreadsheet or get that notebook, but that is a key to being organized. Okay, and the last thing here is do your research. Do your research. Do your homework. What does that mean? That means subscribe to this podcast so you can listen to all my good information. But no, seriously, get on YouTube, listen to people who go out and you know, do these yard sales and collect video games, and you know, you can find a lot of good information on those channels. They'll tell you what stuff is valuable and how much stuff costs and how much they paid for stuff, and you can really get a good idea of what you're looking for that way. And the more time you put in doing this research, the better you will be. So during the week when you feel like you're not doing anything, you know, maybe you only go out on Saturday or whatever, use that time during the week to do some research. And so you can be ready when you come across stuff. You're not having to look stuff up on your phone, on eBay, stuff like that. Now, looking stuff up on your phone is fine. I've found one really good app for this, though, that makes it a lot quicker in a lot of situations. It's the Amazon Sellers app, and you can download that. It's a free app, and the cool thing about it, the tool it has in it that's really cool, is it has a thing that will allow you to just scan a barcode, and then once you scan that barcode, it'll tell you what that item is selling for on Amazon right now. So I've used this a lot in Goodwill or other, you know, thrift stores. If there's a stack of video games and you're not sure about a few of them, just scan that barcode and see what pops up. So, you know, you can definitely use the tools that are available to you. You don't want to just be sitting there looking up, you know, 20 different games on your phone to see what's worth anything. So do your research and kind of have a good idea, at least kind of some good rules of thumb ahead of time as far as what type of games are valuable. And if you don't know that information, the good news is I'm about to tell you. So in this next segment, I'm just going to give you some general rule of thumb things to just tell you, you know, what's valuable and what's not. So before we talk about game types and which ones are valuable, let's talk about condition. The condition that a game or a system is in is important, but it's not all important, okay? Now, let's say you come across a copy of Smash Brothers, Nintendo 64, Smash Brothers. It's just the cartridge, no box, no manual. It's got a sticker on it. Cartridge is dirty, and they want $10 for it. Go ahead and get that, okay? It's not important that it's missing the box and the manual. Stickers can come off. You can clean up a game cartridge, and it would be great if it had the box and the manual. Definitely that makes it worth more. But don't bypass stuff that is good stuff just because it doesn't have everything. Because, you know, you may be at a yard sale a month from there, and you may come across, hey, I've got the box and the manual for this game, but I don't have the cartridge. And then, you know, you get that stuff and you have the complete copy. So don't get so caught up on the condition of stuff that you bypass good values. Now, I'm not going to get into specific titles today, but I can tell you some certain types of games and certain genres that are valuable and some certain genres that are not. Now, there's always exceptions to these. But this is just kind of general rule of thumb. So, stuff that is typically valuable are going to be like your RPG games, your games that are made by Nintendo. Nintendo original games, like any of your Mario games, even stuff like Mario Party, Mario Kart, Kirby, anything that's like an original Nintendo title, those are valuable. Anything you see like that, pretty much almost always going to be good. Games in the horror genre, like your Silent Hill, Resident Evil, things like that, those are typically good value. Those are typically worth, you know, some money. As far as systems go, right now, probably the ones you will pay the most for if you were to buy them on like an eBay or something are going to be NES, Super NES, GameCube, and Nintendo 64. Again, those are all Nintendo products. Man, the brand name Nintendo is a big deal when you're collecting this stuff. A lot of people love Nintendo and like to hold on to that stuff and keep it, so it's a little bit harder to come across. And also, I think it's because a lot of those, well, I guess with the exception of the GameCube, those systems use cartridges, and cartridges tend to hold up better over time than CDs. So that could be part of the reason why those tend to be, you know, collectors kind of want to keep that stuff and collect that stuff, because you don't have to worry about games being scratched up and things like that. So, but anyway, those are the systems you want to keep an eye out for mostly. But now, if you're going out to yard sales and thrift stores, and you know, you see a system, I don't care what system it is, and it's cheap and you're getting a good deal on it, just grab it, you know. And while we're on the topic of systems, don't get caught up too much with the condition of the system. Now that can depend on what system we're talking about, though. So if someone has an NES and they're saying, well, it doesn't really work good, it doesn't work, that's easy to fix. You can fix that at home for cheap and without lots of work. On the other hand, if they're selling like a PlayStation 2 and they're saying, well, it doesn't work, you may not be able to fix that, or it may cost more to fix it than you're willing to put into a PS2. So you just have to kind of do your research on that, decide which systems you'd be willing to get, even if someone says it doesn't work, because there are a lot of them that that are easy to get working if they don't work. Also, you may come across a system and it doesn't have any of the cords. So we don't have the power cord, or we don't have the video cord. That stuff is also easy to get. You know, you can find cords in thrift stores, or you can buy them pretty cheap online. So wouldn't worry too much about that, although that is a good reason for you to say, hey, well, since it doesn't have the cords, would you take a little bit less for it? Yeah, now let's talk about what's not valuable. So really, there's one certain genre, there's one type of game that all collectors hate to see when they come across it. You know, you come up to the yard sale, you see in a distance there's a stack of games on the table, you run over only to discover that all of the games are sports games. No, sports games are bad. FIFA 2005 or Tiger Woods 2007 or Madden 2009, these games all have one thing in common: they're worthless. They're not worth a dollar, they're not worth a quarter, okay? The only reason you would ever want to buy one of these games is if you, for some reason, wanted to play it, because there's no value at all. Or if you're like, for some reason, you want to collect all the different, you know, Madden games. So, you know, unless it's got some personal meaning to you, you don't need to buy it, because there's just no value there at all. There are some exceptions to this, and they're very few, I would say, but you may want to research into that and see what those exceptions are. I mean, I can tell you one off the top of my head: NCAA 2014. It was the last college football game that EA Sports ever made, and so that game goes for about 40, 50 bucks on eBay last time I checked. But other than that one game, and that, you know, that being a special case because it was the last college football game that was ever made by EA Sports, or anybody for that matter, you know, it's just a special case that way. But 99% of the times you see those sports games, just leave them alone, because they're not worth anything. Other than that, games that are typically worthless are like your AAA titles that come out every year. So for example, like Call of Duty, you know, unless you want to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Don't pay money for it because it's just not worth anything as far as, you know, resale value or collecting, you know, value, whatever. Things like Guitar Hero and Rock Band and, you know, anything that was the big smash hit blockbuster that sold 19 million copies or whatever, those are typically just not worth a whole lot. Mainly because everyone has them, and the, you know, the local video game store has 1,000 used copies of them for sale. And so, yeah, if you're looking for value, that's not the type of stuff you're looking for. However, let me give you a word of warning about prices. Just because things are cheap everywhere doesn't mean they don't have much value. Or just because they don't have much value right now doesn't mean they won't have much value in the future. So, for example, like right now, the Nintendo Wii stuff is really cheap. Or at least last time I checked, it's been a few months. But the Nintendo Wii, the systems, the games, everything was like super cheap for the Wii. That stuff's going to go up in value. Give it 2 or 3 years, that stuff's going to go up. Because I remember a few years ago, Nintendo GameCube stuff was really cheap. It was like you could find that stuff anywhere. The systems were cheap, the controllers, everything was cheap. And now that stuff is like shot up in value. So sometimes that cheap stuff, you want to say, hey, is it cheap because it's just nobody wants it? Or is it cheap because just it's in that weird age where, you know, it's not old enough to be retro, but it's not new enough to be cool, you know? And if it's in that kind of age, it's going to be valuable at some point, you know? So I love buying stuff for the Wii. I've got a pretty nice collection of Wii games and systems, controllers and stuff. And that stuff is cheap and it's going up. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. But do me a favor, if you enjoyed this content, or if it was informational to you, something that that you liked, go out there and give me a review or a rating on the podcast store, whether that's Google Play or iTunes or whatever. Those ratings are really helpful for new podcasts. Also, download that Anchor app and find me on the Anchor app. Same thing, Retro Game Guy, and connect with me there. You can send me questions through that app, comments. Also, sometimes you'll hear stuff on the app that you may not hear on the podcast store, in the app store, whatever. So I've been talking too much, I can tell, because I'm getting all tongue twisted. So I'm going to stop talking now. But thank you for listening, and hope you have a great weekend.